Good morning.
Good morning.
Everyone can hear me, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So, anybody recognize this? Anybody know what that is? Oh man, you guys are quick. Yeah, you're really fast. We wanted to put the shoe there, but we thought this might be a little bit more difficult for you to recognize, but clearly not. Yeah, it's a playing piece in the game of
Monopoly.
How many here have ever played that game? I think a lot of people might have played it, and if you haven't, I'm going to tell you what the rules of the game are. So there are rules associated, just like every game, right? There are rules associated. And one of the things that it says is many players like to devise their own house Monopoly rules. So there are rules that are set out, right? And then how many of you, when you've played this game, have set some of your own rules? Anybody ever do that? Yeah, of course. Yeah, we always kind of change them around a little bit. But what's the object of the game? A person wins by having the most money at the end of the game. First person that goes bankrupt, right? Then everybody counts their money. And you know, it used to be played that you would continue playing on until all the other people were bankrupt and only one person had all the money. Hence the name Monopoly, right?
That changed?
Yeah, it did. So basically, the way the game is played, if you've never played it before, there's the board and you roll the die and then you go around the different spaces and you're going to land on property and you can choose to buy it. Now you start out with a bankroll of money and there is a banker involved in this. So you can buy land, then you can buy houses to put on there. You can, you know, develop apartments, motels. You can buy the railroads. You can buy, how do you like to be the utility tax collector, right? That's a good one, isn't it? You can collect taxes. There's a possibility, you know, you could go to jail, all right? That's a possibility. So you can get a pass that gets you out of jail free. And then the negotiating starts, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. So you're starting to cut some side deals, aren't you? Well, I'll give you one house. I'll switch Park Avenue for this, this, and this, and I want your get out of jail free card, right? So negotiation, that might involve money, and that might not involve money. But don't forget, what is the goal of this game? To make money, to make the most money. And when there's somebody that comes up with a deal that you realize after the deal is done that that deal was not a good deal for you and was a better deal for the other person, have you ever said, like, whoa, that was a really good move? That was brilliant. That was an absolutely brilliant rule. Well, that's kind of what we had a little bit today in this very confusing parable. You know, we might call somebody who makes a move like that as being streetwise, right? They know how to land on their feet. They know how to keep on going. They know what it takes. They know the rules of the game. They know the rules of this world. Streetwise, we might say. So let's see. Do we have something next for that one? Wall Street wise, we might want to say. You know, Jesus is talking about, and by the way, I say all these things knowing, I want you to know that I did work for a very large firm that was located on Wall Street. So I don't know that I was streetwise, though. So the parable here is talking about Jesus. And Jesus is saying that the rich man is recognizing what the dishonest man did and said, man, that was brilliant. That was shrewd. Even though he's cheating him out of money, he says, man, that was a really shrewd move. You know how the rules of the game are played in this kingdom. In this kingdom. That doesn't mean in God's kingdom, but in this kingdom. Well, How might we relate that to today? Because let's be honest, I don't know that any of us would be in a position where we can just start, you know, marking down someone else's debt like that. So I want us to take a look at a company that has been in the news over the summer and seems to be back in the news again. And it is a company that makes a, oh, yeah, you guys have heard of this company, have you? Yeah, it's Mylan. They are a pharmaceutical company, and they produce a product that's is an EpiPen, but it's an epinephrine auto-injector. Okay, has the right exact dosage that you need. And for a child or an adult that has an allergy, this is a life-saving device. A life-saving device. Portable, quickly administratable, and it saves lives. So when Mylan first purchased this product from another company in 2007, they marketed the product for $100. A couple years later, 2009, they still marketed for $100. Cost $4 to make. By July of 2013, they started to sell it for $265. In May of 2015, it sold for $461, and by May of 2016, they raised the price to $609 for two EpiPens. It is a 500% increase. Now, keep in mind that they own 95% of the market. So it's not as if you can go somewhere else to get this EpiPen. Now, people were outraged, right? That's when we kind of all heard about it, when it was time to go back to school. There's an expiration of 1 year on these. So people were outraged. So what the company did was they issued a $300 savings card, or what they called a coupon. And everyone seemed to think, well, that's good. At least it brought the price down. But you know what? If you were on Medicaid, it didn't cover the cost. It was only a small number of people that actually qualified for this coupon. So the backlash continued. Now, I want you to keep in mind that this increase from the company's standpoint, if you own stocks and shares in this company, right, their sales are going to increase. You have to purchase this product. So it's a good deal for the shareholders who want to make money. It turned out to be a great deal for the CEO, who wound up getting a pay raise and a bonus. But the backlash continued. Here was a new solution they came up with. We're going to add the EpiPen to the federal list of preventative medical services. Does this sound like a preventive medical service? No, it's a prescription. It's not preventative at all. It is a drug that would be used in the event you have a reaction. So some of the things that are on the preventative medical services list include cancer screenings, different vaccines, things along those lines. Preventative. No prescription drug is on this list. Yet they're pushing really hard for this drug to be added to that list. And if it does get added, you know what that means? There's no copay at all for the person who needs to purchase it. So basically, it comes to them for free. So there's no direct cost. It does not matter what the cost of that EpiPen is. And no one would get upset then when the price would increase. So think about it. It's a brilliant move. As a matter of fact, there is one lawyer who said this is brilliant on their part that they thought of doing this. So it's very similar to what we hear today. Shrewd. They know how the game is played in this world, don't they? The government, the health insurance companies, as well as the employers, are the ones that will have to foot the bill. And guess what? What do we know? We know that where does it ultimately come to? Increased premiums, and some of your other co-pays will increase. But as they said, this was a brilliant move. Now, Jesus, this is the most important thing for you to remember. Jesus is not condoning the behavior of the dishonest manager at all. What he's pointing out is that this dishonest manager knows how to play by the rules of this world, where money is important. That's what he's pointing out. Jesus does not point out what the rules are in this particular parable for living in God's kingdom. Instead, what we see is the exact opposite. We're waiting. Okay, Jesus, come on, tell us the other side of it. But in this parable, Jesus doesn't do that. Later on in Luke and throughout Luke, he does tell us, but not in this parable, which is why it can be so confusing, so misunderstanding. You know, it's really a hard, hard parable. Jesus says that to play in this world and to win in this world means that life looks different, very different than what it looks like in the kingdom of God. Now, the Greek word for wealth is the word mammon. And so mammon means your possessions, your money, you know, your overall wealth that's going on here. So Jesus is not saying that money is bad. That is not what Jesus is saying here. What Jesus is saying is money has power. Mammon has power. It's not an inactive source. It's not passive. It can demand things from you that you wouldn't even begin to understand. It demands your attention. It has power over you. And it can easily become your God. Jesus is showing us an example of what the kingdom of God is not. There's a song. I think you guys might know the song, but I don't know. My husband didn't know the song. And it was sung by Bob Dylan. Ever hear this song before? You gotta serve somebody. Anybody hear that song before? Yeah. It may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you gotta serve somebody. So, who are you gonna serve? Is it God? Or is it mammon? Because you're going to serve somebody. So here are some examples from Mylan. Mylan pushed for, and by the way, when I say Mylan, I'm talking people, okay? A corporation is a person of people. Mylan pushed for legislation that required that the product be available in hotels and restaurants. Do you know that more than 10 states so far have made it legally a requirement that EpiPens be placed in hotels and restaurants? Who is that corporation serving? Wealth or God? They're using some allergy organizations through, by the way, a consulting firm that they're trying not to have ties with, right? And this consulting firm is going to these allergy organizations that are receiving annual grants from them. And they're saying, we want you to help us push through this change in getting this drug on that preventative screening list. Who are they serving? Wealth or God? There is one group, a nonprofit group of allergy doctors, who was offered money to write a paper that would be in favor, slanted in favor to this drug being added to that list. The spokesperson, the head doctor for that list, said, as we looked at it and what they were asking to do, we thought, no way. There's no way that we could do that. Who are they serving? Wealth or God? There's a spokeswoman for Mylan. And as all of this was beginning to come out, and she would go around and do training and things along those lines. Her name was Kelly Rudnicki. She said, I can't work for a company that is doing this. And she resigned. Who is she serving? God. Wealth or God? You and I, we are faced with these same challenges every day. It's not easy at all. But what we do know is we can't compartmentalize our life. We can't say in business or whatever our dealings, I'm going to act this way, but when it comes to outside of that, in my relations, I'm going to act a different way. We can't. And it's not easy. So you're going to have to serve somebody. And as we hear Bob Dylan sing, it may be the devil, it may be wealth, mammon, or it may be the Lord. But you're going to have to serve somebody. Amen.